Right, I thank you all for your greetings, and now let me gather us together around a reading of God's Word. And today, as I said, is found in Psalm 100, all five verses. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. And so we are in Psalm 100, and your thought for today is, our thanksgiving comes from being God's own possession. Our thanksgiving comes from being God's own possession. This is an invitation to the world. This was a theme and a song of praise that was lifted up to perhaps help lead the worship of God that was being carried on by this ancient people. And they could come to Him in a way that wanted the world itself to give praise and glory to God for who He is and all that He does and has done. And so these lessons from the ancient people, surrounded by troubles, as I mentioned that this won't, for those of you who heard that, it won't be a repeat, okay? But as I did mention in the devotional time, they were surrounded by many struggles. They were very attached to the earth. They had poor harvest seasons. It impacted them greatly, much more impactful than what we have nowadays. They had areas in their lives that they were under attack, and it was fierce fighting. There were battles where enemies could come in, and they had to go out and fight battles. Last week, we talked about how they had prayers for the king as he would go out to lead his army in battle, lead that nation in battle. And so there were many things to make their life hard, but yet they come here in this song of praise to God, making a joyful noise to the Lord. Their praise came from knowing that they were the possession of the living God. Their praise came from knowing that they were the possession of the living God. And as I said, the whole earth was to come and to worship Him. Why? Because He is the Creator God. He has created the whole world. He has set it in its place. Now this, from the NIV commentary, this term used for worship is a combination of both active and passive. In other words, it was worship and service. And let me quote you from what this particular commentator said. He said, every act of worship is an act of service, and every act of service done for the Lord is an act of worship. There can be no separation of public worship practice from private character and worldview. For the former to be meaningful, the latter must be consistent with the words offered. In other words, when you come and we sing praises to God and we thank Him and we talk about Christ in our life and how great God is, do we live our lives in a way that reflect how our worship goes on Sunday? That's the core of what this commentator is reminding all of us. Do our lives that we live during the week reflect the words that we speak on Sundays when we come to worship? Do our lives during the week reflect the character and attitude of our lives when we come to worship on Sundays? I continue to remind us all that we are not on some type of spiritual time clock where we clock in on Sunday mornings, we worship, we clock out on Sunday mornings, and then we're free to go back to our lives, whatever it was that we had experienced and however we would like to live them. Public worship here is a matter of private character and private, how do we see the world? How do we see God working in the world? And so to find the meaning here of worship, I want you to think of cheering at a sporting event. This is what he's talking about here. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. There was an essence of shouting to God for His goodness and for all that He is in the lives of His people. And so when we go to a sporting event and we get tied up into that sporting event, WA was playing for the state championship yesterday, and even though I couldn't see it, I was trying to follow it online, and I was calling people asking what the score was and all of that. And thank you for all who responded, or texting actually, because you'll text back. You won't answer your phone, but you will text back. And so I thank you for all of you who texted me and kept me informed of the game. But there was a letdown there when the field goal went wide right. And so that was, everybody wanted to win. And so we were caught up in that euphoria. They had a chance. We wanted them to win. We were into that game. No matter whether we were sitting on the sidelines or whether we were sitting at home, we wanted them to win because we had a connection there. There was a relationship established. And that's what this psalm is pointing us to, is that relationship that is established between God and His people, individuals, you and God, connected in a way that we want to see Him do well. We want to see His church do well. We want to, as I say, make God look good in how we live our lives each day. And so in effect, we enter into a spirit, if that illustration helps you, of cheering on the church. Cheering on the church. We get caught up into it that way. And that's what this psalm is calling the worshipers to do, to come into His worship in that relationship of thanksgiving, in that relationship of connectedness that we have with God, and to cheer Him on, to want good things for the church because of what He has done for us and what He is to us. Now, God can either make us cheer for Him, or the idea of God, I should say, can either make us cheer for Him, or the idea of God can make us run and hide from Him. How do we see Him? Do we see Him as loving Father or hard-nosed dictator? The answer to that will affect the worship and the quality of the worship that we have for Him. True worship comes from knowing the Lord, He is God. Now, what does that mean for us? This knowing speaks of our surrender to His wisdom, His truth, and His judgment. His wisdom guides us, His truth guards us, and His judgment warns us. When you have a child, and you tell that child, "I do not want you playing in the road," you have just accomplished this pattern that I spoke to you. Why is that? Because your wisdom is guiding that child. There's danger out there. How do you know it's danger? Your truth here has spoken that word, that there's danger out there. So your truth is guarding. You want that child to stay away from the danger. Because in your mind you have made a judgment that it is not safe for that child to play out on the road. God and His spiritual connection to His people does those same three things to us. Through the guarding and guiding of His Spirit and in the judgment of the truth of God, God has judged that there are things that are not conducive to good spiritual behavior, good Christian character. God has judged that there are things that we should best leave alone. Now, are we like an obedient child that surrenders to that guiding and guarding and judgment? Or are we the rebellious child that says, if they don't want me to go in the road, there must be something good there and I got to go check it out. And as soon as I get an opportunity, I'm going to go check it out. Or are we the obedient child that understands that mom and daddy must have a reason for me not playing in that road, and that they've made a wise decision and they want good things for me? That's what we're talking about here. How do we see God? How do we see God? Is He trying to keep you from joy, or is He trying to make your life more joyous? We can be more joyous in our surrender than we can be in our rebellion. And that's what the Christian character is all about. Finding joy in our surrender to Him. Why? Because we are His flock. I say this a good bit. We worship in thankfulness because we are kept in His pasture. His pasture is His church. He has guided and guarded, and He has set Himself up around His church because sheep need a lot of care. I shared this with the young folks Doug Yates has a little video floating around the internet. You may have seen it where this sheep is wedged in a narrow ditch. And so this man is coming and he's lifting and picking up and he's getting this sheep out. And he sets the sheep out on solid ground and the sheep takes two or three bounds and back in the ditch. Sheep need a lot of care. They need a lot of guidance. They need a lot of shepherding in their lives. And that's what God wants to offer to us. Because Jesus called himself that good shepherd. He said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This psalm is talking about all the earth come. And what Jesus is talking about there are sheep and other folds. That's what this ministry is all about. To going out to those sheep that are in other folds. So that this ministry can help unlock the door to the hearts of those who will receive the gospel message. Who will then become part of that pasture of God that is His universal, His holy Catholic Church, the Church Universal. Not the Church in Italy, in Rome, but the Church Universal. That's what that Catholic means. The God's Word going out and penetrating hearts and calling His sheep from all the lands that they're now in and bringing them into His pasture. And I use this illustration a lot. How do we see the fence that forms His pasture? That's the source of finding joy in our obedience, finding joy in our surrender. Just like warning your child not to go play in the road, that fence surrounding the pasture of God, that fence that He has built around the church, is the fence of His love and His wisdom and His truth. We can either rebel against that fence, as some animals are prone to do, and they want to find out what's on the other side. Or we can surrender to that fence and know that it is put there for a reason, for our protection, for our guidance, for our guarding, to keep us safe. Knowing that a good shepherd has established this boundary, this safe and secure, nutritious, nurturing place for me. And He has placed me in it because He loves me. And He wants to care for me. Do we surrender to Him in that way? Or do we rebel against that fence and it's restrictive and it's keeping me from enjoying life and I want to do what I want to do and I want to find out what's out there? I want to go in that road and I want to experience for myself, is mom and daddy telling me the truth? Am I going to get hurt out here? And we treat God that same way as that rebellious child. I want to go and I want to find out for myself. I know you get tired of hearing this, Adam and Eve. We want to find out for ourselves. And we want a chance to judge for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. And it's the same yearning that is in the heart of mankind to this day. We want to judge for ourselves. There's a lot of implications in that wording, we want to judge for ourselves. It means that we want to be our own gods. We want to decide for ourselves. We want to make our decisions. We want to judge for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. We don't care what God said about this road. We want to know for ourselves. We want to decide for ourselves. We want to put our place on that throne of God. He knows us. Jesus is saying He knows us as intimately as He knows the Father. And so He can be that guide and guard and keep us from things that are dangerous to us. We talked last week about that part of the Lord's Prayer that we pray every Sunday where it says about keeping us from temptation and delivering us from evil. As I shared with you last Sunday, that means that God knows ourselves, our hearts, our minds so intimately that He knows what we struggle with. He knows what is in our heart that is hard for us to say no to resist. And so we're in that prayer to God, we are saying, keep me away from those places that are too hard for me to resist. And so it's a plea to God that we can live our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. And not in a life, not our lives in a way that bring rebellion, that brings spiritual deprivation to ourselves. And we develop His mind through our relationship with Him. That Spirit of God that dwells within us, that begins to search us out, that begins to mold us gradually day by day as we surrender more and more to the wisdom, the truth of God, His guardianship of our lives. As we surrender more and more to that, we begin to think more and more like Jesus does. And the more we begin to think like Jesus does, the closer we are to the Father. And the closer we are to the Father, the more we can see our need to be there. A child gets scared and they run to the person that they think can help them. That person may not be any more able to overcome whatever it is that's scaring this child than they are. But they run to the person that they believe is able to help them. And the childlike faith that we are encouraged to have is that kind of faith that we run to the one that we believe will help us in whatever situation we find ourselves in. In whatever circumstance the world throws at us, we run to the one who we believe can give us the encouragement, the guidance, the protection, the wisdom, all of those things that we need to face whatever challenge life has put in our minds. Developing the mind of Christ through the ministry of that Spirit then means that from the mind flows out that life of service. That's what we were talking about a little bit earlier, about how our worship affects our service and our service affects our worship. The mind of Christ that is developed in the mind of the believer over time through the working inner workings of the Spirit of God affects our attitudes of service to Him. And so we find ourselves yielding more to the call of God in our lives to do things like this, to do things like teach Sunday school, to do things like call upon the shut-ins, to encourage people, to send cards, to give phone calls, to do all of the things that are good and proper for the people of God to do that make the church fit together. All of this diversity that is in this congregation that are sitting around me this day, all of these are interlocked by the blood of Christ, by the inner working of the Spirit that has been received on faith. And that inner working of the Spirit then encourages us to make that connection more secure. By loving each other, seeking their good. That's the biblical law. Seeking the good and what's in the best interest for others. Have you been discouraged and encouraged by a random phone call out of the blue? Be the maker of that phone call. Have you been fearful and been encouraged or been strengthened by a good friend that can come and just spend time with you? Be that good friend. Have you been downtrodden and depressed and just in the pit of darkness and someone comes, maybe offers you some wisdom, maybe just loves on you a little bit? Then be that person. And by doing those things, the children of God come together. And we make Him look good because we are acting on the mind of Christ that is being developed within us by that Spirit transforming how we think, changing our minds about things, giving us the strength that we need. Maybe you're intimidated about talking to people. That's an opportunity for growth. It's not an opportunity to withdraw like we talked about Wednesday night with Moses. Oh God, send somebody else. I'm just a poor shepherd. And God wants us to go do something in the life of an individual. We can. We got texts, folks. You don't even have to leave your house. You don't even have to look at them in the face. You can text them. You can even send a little emoji if you don't know what to say. A little smiley face, a little heart to let somebody know, folks, it's so easy now. It's so easy. It's not like you got to mount up on your camel and ride 50 miles through the desert and go see Aunt so-and-so because she ain't feeling well. We're watching the ball game and smiley face, heart. Sin. Somebody thought about me. That's how it is. Doing that brings the mind of Christ to the hearts of those that God lays on your mind. And that's how easy it is, folks. Isn't that worth cheering over? You don't have to get out in the rain, the cold. Now it's good to go and get out in the rain and cold and show somebody, take them some soup. A lot of you are good at that. Cooking a cake for them, a lot of you are good at that. Just coming and spending time with them. A lot of you are good at that. Well, I can't teach. You're Moses in the wilderness. I can't speak. I can't do this, God. Just send somebody else. What can you do? Well, I can offer them this. That's fine. It's an act of love from your heart to theirs. It's an act of encouragement from your life to theirs. It's a way that you can be involved in the life of another person by giving of what you have been gifted with. And folks, all of us can do that. All of us can do that. All it takes is the desire and the willingness to surrender to God's call in your life, to be that person, to be that mind of Christ. Thanksgiving and other times of family gatherings give us that opportunity to serve in gratitude to God. We may not think of it this way, but when you provide a good meal, you provide a safe and warm and welcoming home, you're really acting in the manner of God to His people because of what He has done for us. And all of this psalm reminds us of. And so Thanksgiving then becomes not just a time of exhaustion that I'm really not looking forward to in the minds of some, to a time of building up your family, to encouraging them, to gathering together with the ones you love, to help inspire them, maybe even be that person in some small way in their life. And by doing that, we mimic the character of God. We give of ourselves to others so that they can feel warm and welcomed and full. And that's what God wants us to be, because that's what He gives to us. So shout for the goodness of God. Cheer for the kingdom to give to us the mind of Christ, so that we can be the people of the Lord, the sheep of His pasture. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before You this day thanking You for Your grace, thanking You for building that pasture for Your sheep. And Father, we just ask now that we will surrender to that fence in wholehearted joy and thanksgiving for the goodness that it represents, the wisdom, the guidance, the guarding, the judgment that has been made for our benefit to protect us and keep us pure, a gift, a treasure for Your kingdom. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.